Genau mein Agil, der Podcast zur Agilität mit Philipp Diebold.
You are live. Herzlich willkommen zur heutigen Podcast-Folge des Genau mein Agil Podcast. Und um ehrlich zu sein, ich muss jetzt ins Englische switchen. So, I'm now switching to English because today's guest, this is a good thing about German and English mixture, is Chet. And Chet is originally English speaking, and I would say not only originally, not German speaking, but Chet, let's give us some more insights about you, your life, and probably why you are here and what might be our today's topic for the next half an hour.
Sure. Yeah, so I think we're here to talk about maybe my ridiculous, fun parody Agile songs that I've been experimenting with over the last few years. But before I started putting those online, my background was actually technical to start out with. I was computer science, and I was a programmer for many years. Grew up in some larger organizations doing things the wrong way for years, and it never felt quite right. And then early 2000s, I actually discovered this weird thing called Scrum. And my team used Scrum for a while. And then I kind of rediscovered it, you know, several years later again. And then I went through all the motions, right? I became a business analyst. I was a project manager. And I was, the whole time, I was always experimenting with something closer to Scrum. And then eventually, I guess I had it with project management and the pain that I was in with the way we were running things. So I joined a local consultancy that was an agile training and coaching consultancy. And the rest is kind of history. I think the first week or two on the job, I started co-training with some amazing people. And before I knew it, I was a Scrum and Agile trainer. And then I was a coach and doing advising. And then that eventually led to me, well, I can just do this on my own. And so I quit my job and started my own company. And now I have a business partner, Jeff Bubels. We're headquartered in Wisconsin in the United States here. And we're essentially those external advisors to help organizations move closer and closer to agility.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Hopefully that wasn't too long-winded.
No, it was fine. I wouldn't say it was too short. But the fun thing or the question for me is, you already mentioned the Agile songs. To be honest, I am not sure why you called them parodic songs. I'm not quite sure, but let's talk about this later. Please give me or us more insights about how was the history to come to this idea to perform such songs.
Yeah, so I guess it started when I was early on when I was training and co-training with some other instructors. We would joke around, and I can't remember all the context, but we'd say a phrase, right? We'd be talking about some concept in Agile or Scrum, and then we'd think of some song, right? And be like, oh, that's kind of funny, right? Like, it sounds like you could replace the lyrics.
Okay.
Yeah, we could replace the lyrics with something agile. So, like, I don't know. I'm just looking through my backlog of songs here, but I believe the first one that I ever performed live was something called Tennessee Scrum, and it was a parody of Johnny Cash.
Okay.
Johnny Cash is a pretty well known song, but maybe not as well known as some of his songs, called the Tennessee Stud. It's about a horse, right? Tennessee Stud. So, yeah. And then I just started writing lyrics for that. And I think the real nudge to play it, my first one live, was, I've told this story before on podcast, but I'll say it again. There is an Agile conference called Music City Agile. And for those familiar Nashville? With the United States, Music City is Nashville, right? Nashville, Tennessee. So, the organizer, Tommy Norman, awesome person. And I was asking him on the phone as we were preparing for the conference to come speak. I was like, hey, if I wanted to play a song at the end of my talk, is that something that, would work out? And he sort of chuckled, and he's like, yeah, like we're in Nashville. Like, we'll have guitars here for you. Like, don't worry about
it.
Just show up and we'll give you a guitar. And I was like, oh, so that's why it's called Music City. Like, wherever you go, if you want to perform something, there's going to be guitars lying around. So anyway, that was the first time somebody recorded it on their phones at the end of the conference. And I got to close the whole conference out on the main stage with my song.
You played the song twice, right?
I played it twice.
Your talk and later on at the end of the conference.
That's correct. Yeah, okay. The one that I did at the end of my talk, I don't think got recorded. Somebody may have recorded it, but I've never seen the recording. And then another person who I know recorded it and posted it on Twitter. So if you Google it, you can still find that version. And maybe I'll grab that video sometime and post it on my YouTube channel as like a, you know, some my older first- older versions of things. But so anyway, the origin of it all, I guess, is that I just, out of fun and joking around with colleagues, we just, you know, I've always been taking words and I've always really had a passion for music. Mm-hmm. As a child, I always had like a dream of being in a rock band, right? So this, I always joke, this is the closest I'm ever going to get.
You're an HR rock band, right?
Yeah, I'll never be in a real band. But so the parody part of it is that, you know, I'm taking these amazing, well-known songs that people around the world love because they're made by real artists, you know, real amazing artists that have created amazing melodies that are so catchy. And I'm just changing the lyrics to make them hopefully entertaining within the Agile space.
Yep, but the important thing from my point of view is not about the songs are entertaining or the lyrics are entertaining, but there is a lot of truth in the lyrics, from my point of view at least.
Yeah.
And therefore I was just thinking, okay, if it would be a parody, I would say there must be some strange things or kind of stretched things or whatever. But from my point of view, there is a lot of truth in the songs or in the lyrics of the songs.
Yeah. And I think it's probably, I don't know, maybe it could be a translation. Parody, it's probably closer to satire actually than parody, right? It's really just parody is almost right making fun of something. I'm not making fun of the original artist. I'm actually paying tribute to the original artist in that your song is so great, but I'm just modifying the lyrics to make it a little bit more entertaining in this niche community that we have around the world, right? This agile space. So yeah, I think that's the part. And I love that you brought up the truth, right? There is truth in humor. Like, I think that's what makes them so relatable is that they're all based on my experiences. Being a practitioner, being an advisor, being a trainer, you see so many different scrum teams around the world, right? So many agile delivery teams. Just you see all the cultural, organizational drama and politics. And we have to laugh about it, right? Like, there's truth. There's always truth in humor. And the reason we laugh is because we maybe have all been in that situation, or, hey, I remember a team that did that once. So I do try to add as much truth and humor into it. And then I've really a nudge from my business partner, Jeff. He's always like, you should really make them educational as you do it, right? And so it's kind of become like a different creative form of training in that, if someone's listening close to the lyrics, even if they're new to Scrum or Agile, I think I'm trying to squeeze as many
information, you know, or inputs or
takeaways. Knowledge. Like, if there's a training class, there's like takeaways that you get from it if you're listening close. So
yeah, and in this case, I think it's not only about listening, but if you have a video with the lyrics kind of on the bottom, on the top, where they are presented. So for me, to be honest, the first time I heard one of your songs, I was really sad on that day. I do not know for whatever reason, but during lunch break, I was just checking on LinkedIn and seeing that kind of LinkedIn post and pressed on playing. And it was funny jumping around in my home office and looking on the video, checking the lyrics, kind of in parallel, due to the fact that there is, whether you call it truth or whether you call it takeaways or whatever, but all these really good things and stuff. And yeah, for that reason, I said, okay, we really need to talk. And I really want to even promote this kind of content in Germany, because I know a lot of kind of people in my kind of HR circle network or whatever said, okay, yeah, that's cool to have an English speaking kind of podcast guest and all the things that you don't know the songs of Jack. Yeah. And I said, okay, so this is one of my goals of today's kind of podcast, to be honest, to say all the people who are listening now or listening later at the podcast, you need to listen to Chat songs, and even not to listen, but also to look on the lyrics, because this is the agile proof. This might be too much, but there's a lot of truth about agility inside. Let's call it like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's awesome. You know, what I found by posting them, the whole idea was originally that I was going to post them on YouTube, right? Again, all a nudge from my business partner, Jeff. He's the one who makes me do this. I'm not very comfortable.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah. I always try to thank him for that, I guess.
Give him some kisses off me right now. Yeah.
I don't know. The internet is so permanent. So I was always a little self-conscious and afraid of like, well, once I do this and record it, it's out there, right? But I got over it. The more you do it, the more you get a little more comfortable.
But to be honest, let's jump into a little bit of kind of meta topic. But
yeah,
isn't this exactly what agility is about?
Just
going for an experiment, saying, okay, I'm trying it, see what happens. And if I get punished by all the people and all the people say, get off, stop it, or whatever, you can stop it. But if there's something else as reaction and you see all the people laugh and say, hey, can we have another song, what about this song, and all the things, this is okay, how to proceed with that and learn from the existing kind of experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so I'll relate it to even the power of pairing and collaboration that teams have, and you know, obviously a lot of things, agile, scrum, if you want to have a highly effective feedback loop and an amazing high performing team, you're going to want that collaborative spirit, right, on the team in practice. But it really applies to any team around the world trying to do something together.
Yeah.
The power of pairing, right? I feel so fortunate to have Jeff as my business partner, because doing this alone would be lonely, right? And you can't bounce ideas off of people. I mean, kind of what you brought up, Philip, as far as even starting the podcast, right? Like, you just wanted to bounce ideas off of people and talk to people. And that's how a lot of podcasts start, right?
Yeah.
And you, when you have that conversation, you build something, I always believe, better than what it would be if you were talking to yourself in your own head. So what I love about relating it to that is, absolutely, Jeff, he's like that team member saying, you know, he used to say in a talk he used to give at conferences, if you're staring into a dark forest, right, that you've never been in, and you know, let's say you're a child, it's kind of scary to take that first step and walk into the forest at night. But yes, if you have a partner in crime, if you have a friend next to you, you're probably more likely to walk into a dark forest together.
Yeah.
You're more likely to try something. And it's because that other person is usually nudging that, you know, you along. And so I get that with Jeff as a business partner, but any team, right, that you get that collective, hopefully there's enough continuous improvement spirit that enough people on your team have that they're pushing things forward.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, so absolutely. I have perfectionist tendencies. So my hardest part is knowing when to stop polishing something and just publish it online. And that's the scary part. But having Jeff as that nudging spirit to say, it's good enough, just go. You can iterate and improve with another song in the future, or right. And this is with anything. This is with any product you're bringing to market. If you strive for perfection, I don't think you're going to make it very long in product development, right? Mm-hmm. Like, product development is about living in the complex space and probably accepting that you'll never reach perfection.
Yeah. So how do you use your songs in trainings or? Or don't you use them?
So
I mean, with a guitar to a training and starting the training with a song?
It did start that way. So before the pandemic, when we were doing a lot more in-person training, I started bringing my guitar. And at the end of the 2 days trainings, I would just ask the students, like, if you're interested, I could play a song at the end. And I was kind of experimenting with the songs and the lyrics. So again, there's some early versions might be floating around on the internet of me performing these at the end of a class. And then not so much now. We did teach a user experience class this week. And one of the students hadn't heard of the songs yet. So we sent him the link. And then at breaks, we normally take 10-minute breaks every hour throughout our training. He asked if we could just play those. So we started playing, you know, the playlist on YouTube.
Exactly.
So that's the first time that we've done that. Normally we wouldn't, I guess, because it feels a little odd, kind of self-promotion of, you know, like, hey, look at me, here's my songs. But we continue to get feedback around the world of other trainers. They say, cool, thanks. And they start using them in their training, whether it's at a break or whether it's just for entertainment value at the beginning or end of the training. So that's cool.
The good thing for you is you do not even need to mention that the songs are from you. You can just start the playlist in the break without the videos, just the music.
Yeah.
And later on, you can ask them whether they listen to the songs or not, whether they so it could be also kind of feedback mechanism for you.
Yeah, that's true.
I believe you get enough feedback from the community right now, but this would be also interesting.
Also, I've decided at one point down when I started publishing these that I'm going to sort of play like the Clark Kent and Superman.
Yeah.
So I actually, if you notice, I think every official published video I have on my YouTube channel, I just put sunglasses on.
Yes. So
it's my way of like, this is the music me, and then the other me, you know, if you see me with my sunglasses off, then I'm typically not performing a song.
The funny thing with the sunglasses is we see the screen in the back where you might have the lyrics or something like that.
Absolutely. I'm totally aware of it, right? You get to see my 4K monitor that I'm reading the lyrics off of. And the reason I actually started using the sunglasses, I'll just peel back the layers here. When the hardest part about changing the lyrics of a song that you're so used to singing is that in my brain, I always revert back to singing the original.
The original, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when I was performing these live early on, I kept struggling because I'd be performing it and then I'd slip back into the normal lyrics and I'd be like, oh, what am I doing? So,
but isn't this fun for the audience?
I don't know. It was probably more confusing for the audience, right? But I noticed, especially during the pandemic, everything went to virtual now. You have this benefit of a screen in front of you all day long. So when I started recording them, especially, that was my crutch. It was in case I, you know, want to slip back into the wrong lyrics, I'm looking at the screen. And the sunglasses help, one, because I have lighting on me.
It's too light.
And it's very weird if you're performing and you're reading the lyrics on a screen, my eyes are moving back and forth and up and down, and it's odd. So you just throw the sunglasses on, and then nobody can tell that you're reading the lyrics.
Just to hide the eyes.
Yeah. So anyway, that's why. And now I've just stuck with it. It's just become the thing to do. If I'm hitting record on a song, I throw the sunglasses on. So
that's cool. How do you come to the lyrics? Is it just from your consulting experience? Is it grabbing the Agile Manifesto and bringing it into a song? Is it about, okay, no, just answer that question and let me go for the next one later on.
Sure. It mostly just kind of like a lot of creative things. It just kind of flows into my head as I start to think about it. So it usually starts with, there's a phrase in a chorus of a song that's popular, or there's a title of a song where I was like, I see it. And then in my head, I'm like, oh, if you replace the word scrum with that word or agile, I bet there's something there. And so then if I think it's a good enough idea and a song that I enjoy, then I add it to my backlog. And then depending on how creative I'm feeling in that moment, a lot of times these songs, from the beginning of the idea to writing most of the lyrics, it can happen in like 15 to 20 minutes. Like, okay, it happens fast sometimes. And then I'll maybe come back to it a few weeks later and tweak some things. But a lot of times it hits me and I capture it and then I move on. So I have a large backlog.
Hit Me Baby One More Time, right? Would be another song.
No, Hit Me Baby One More Time. Yeah, the one that I came up with yesterday, I had a friend mention Joan Jett, right? Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. And she put a request out on one of my LinkedIn posts yesterday of, I love rock and roll. And there's been a lot of, in the Agile community for many years, it's been Scrum or Kanban. And,
yeah,
as a professional Scrum trainer with Scrum.org, we have a class called Professional Scrum with Kanban. Yeah. And we've brought those communities together. And it, when you add Kanban, is essentially at the end of the day, flow, optimizing for flow. And if you merge flow concepts and practices in with Scrum, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. So she brought up the idea for a song called I Love Scrum and Flow. And it hit me right away. And so that's yesterday at lunch, I grabbed my guitar, I grabbed my phone, and I did a rough live version of it. So that it's out there, right? You can find it. Maybe we can even share that. It's posted on YouTube right now, but I could share it with you and people can check that one out. But yeah, so I would say it comes mostly from, there's so much in my head from being a trainer. You know, the Agile principles, the Agile manifesto, Scrum framework, the Scrum guide, the Kanban guide. There's so much in here, and just, you end up reading a lot when you're doing this type of work. So, it's just, I think I just, the phrases flow out pretty naturally.
Are you happy about new ideas?
Am I happy about new ideas?
Whether you are open to get new ideas by podcast hosts or something like that, so by me.
Oh yeah, I always love it when people throw new ideas, right?
I was just thinking, I wrote my PhD thesis about how to find the right agility for a team.
How to
kind
find
of
the
building
right
up a methodology or systematic way and an empirical database about how to find the right agility for a team. And I was just thinking whether we would be able to put the content of my PhD thesis as lyric to a song. I do not have any idea of which song be honest, I'm not good in music stuff, but I was just thinking of saying, so what English content do I have and directly thought on my PhD thesis?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's one song that as far as you're talking, this is kind of how my brain works. So, I was thinking, I think it's a U2 song. I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
Oh, yeah.
You know that song? So I was thinking about searching for something, finding something, and that's what popped into my head. So that's kind of how my brain works with these songs. So then you could work that into lyrics, right? For, I tried Scrum, I tried Kanban, I tried, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And it could be this like endless search for an Agile framework or something.
I think we found our combined project for the next weeks. To be honest. Nevertheless, let me bring up another idea.
Sure.
Have you thought about using ChatGPT to create your song lyrics?
So thought about, yes.
You didn't write it?
So I'm probably an old school person where I don't know if concerned is the right word, but just the creative process, it feels like cheating right now. And I'll probably change my thoughts on this as, artificial intelligence just becomes more and more ubiquitous with the way we operate. But right now it feels like cheating. So what I have done is I've played around with ChatGPT and I've thrown in like, write me a poem about this, write me just to see what it can do.
Yeah.
But even and it's great. It's great what it creates, but I still think there's an edge that I have over AI in changing some of that subtlety, right? I think it's really good at rhyming. It's really good at that. But I do that manually. So what I normally do is if I'm looking for a word to rhyme with something in a verse, I go out and I just search, I Google search you know, words that rhyme with planning, you know, sprint planning or something. And then you find some words that rhyme with that. So I'm doing it all manually right now. But I, yeah, it feels like it would be a sellout, just like any artist, right? If you like go too mainstream or if you fall into like this one, I feel like I want to remain true to just, it came from my brain and I didn't cheat by taking ChatGPT. So that's kind of, that's where I feel about it right now in 2023. I'm sure the future me will be like, what were you thinking, you idiot? Like,
of course. Why? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm totally fine with this. And I do not want to detail discussing about AI or ChatGPT or something like that. It was just for me saying, okay, if I want to do something, being creative, yes, but being not kind of good in musician and having that kind of music feeling in me, so create music, I would say, okay, since I would really not be able to do this, I would use such a tool because it might help me, right?
And my partner, Jeff, right, we talked about this even just yesterday. We think that AI is going to get so good that 20, 30 years from now, you know, even if I'm not around anymore, somebody could say, how would Chad answer this question, right? Because it's going to know so much of my mannerisms, especially when you have recorded content on the internet like this. The more hours it has of, your personality and the way you think, the more it's going to be able to, we think it's going to get that good. And so then at that point, it's like, you know, you could almost feed it in, like write an agile parody song about this, by the way Chad would think about it, and it might spit it out pretty accurately. Right.
Yeah.
I still don't know if I would do that if I'm still around to just make it up on my own, but it's going to be fascinating to see what happens, with all the AI stuff.
But to be honest, I'm even happy to get new songs by you created on your own, not created by Chat. Chat GPT, not Chat Buyer, but Chat GPT.
Yeah. Yeah, I've thought about that actually. Like, at some point, I need to do like some comical sketch about Chad GPT. But yeah, it's you know, I think in its current state, it's not quite good enough. And I think it wouldn't be based enough on my experiences. I think that's the edge I still have on it. It can rhyme and it can write something in the agile space, but a lot of my songs are based on my experiences.
Yes. Yeah.
And you know, my transition from waterfall project management into agile advisor. Yeah. So that's the part where I try to tell some stories and there's like a sense of transformation and change that happened to me that you can see in some of the song lyrics. So anyway,
so the people listening to the podcast just need to went through all of your lyrics and then they see your transformation. So how many songs do you currently kind of have on your, for example, YouTube? Just give me a rough number. Don't know the exact number, but it's about 20, 50, 5, I don't know.
Yes, I think it's, if I just take a quick look at my playlist, it's currently published I have 13 songs on the playlist on YouTube. And then...
So it's enough for an hour listening, right?
I think something. So. I think I'm, maybe not a full hour, but they're short songs. You can actually you go through them quite quickly. But what's on my backlog is a lot more than that. So I have I try not to have too much work in process. Right. But there's a lot of songs out there that are, I would say they're ready, from a lyric standpoint. They just I just need to take the time to record them and publish them. So I bet I have, I think the list is over 40 songs.
Okay.
In my song backlog. So
you did already the U2 song, you added this U2 song already to the backlog, or which we talked before?
Yeah, the one that I just did. So right now I actually, it's a little harder to find. I published it yesterday, but it's unlisted. So it's not like you can't see it on the channel, but it'll probably go live soon, or If not, I can just share the link and we can spread it around. It'll be like a bootleg version.
Yeah.
You know, that you get early before it's supposed to be released.
And the good thing for the I would say it like this, the German fans of you, yeah. You mentioned before we started our live podcast that you would be happy to do a kind of live performance of one of your songs first time in Germany in the podcast again, right?
In the future?
Yeah, in the future, for sure. Not now, but I just want to nail you down on that.
To come back. You're going to try to get me to commit to that right now, huh? you took all that nudging and you know how I work now. The nudging conversations. Yeah, I think we can make it happen, right? I think we were talking earlier, right, before we hit record. I'd want to make sure we get our sound check set so it's going to sound good streaming through the internet, but I think it's very possible. So, yeah, I think we could probably work out a live performance. Maybe we could get a mashup of a few songs or something.
Oh, that would be probably the best thing.
Yeah.
I was thinking, how are we going to celebrate the 5th anniversary of the company I founded with 4 partners regarding our HR consultancy, which is mid of this year, so June. So maybe this would be the exactly time to invite you for this thing. I don't know.
Yeah. 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 We could experiment with it. You know, I have plenty of songs queued up, so we can, as long as we get everything set up, I'm fine being ridiculous on camera for people's entertainment. It's making an impact.
Exactly. Let's keep this in mind, and I think this is a perfect ending for the live recording of this podcast to make all the people aware of. Keep following chat, keep following the podcast, because then you might see when this live thing is going to happen. And with this, thank you very much, Chad, that you got up so early in the US for this podcast recording, and hope to see you again here.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks, Philip. It was a blast. Thanks for the conversation.
Dieser Podcast wird euch präsentiert von Bagelstein. Genau mein Agil.